Welcome to your GCSE English Literature Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most powerful and visceral poems in the Power and Conflict anthology, Bayonet Charge by Ted Hughes. Whether you're studying for AQA, EdXL, or another board, this poem is a gift for examiners, and for you once you know how to unlock it. By the end of this episode, you'll understand exactly what Hughes is doing, how to write about it, and how to avoid the mistakes that cost students marks every single year. So let's get started. First, a bit of context. Ted Hughes wrote Bayonet Charge in the early 1950s, and it was published in his debut collection, The Hawk in the Rain, in 1957. Hughes himself never fought in a war. He was born in 1930, too young for the Second World War, but he was deeply influenced by the legacy of conflict, particularly the First World War, which had devastated the generation before him. His father, William Hughes, was one of only 17 survivors from his regiment at Gallipoli. That trauma lived in his household. So when Hughes writes about war, he's writing from inherited memory, from the weight of what his father carried home. This matters for your exam. When you integrate context, don't just say it was written during the First World War, because it wasn't. Hughes wrote it after the war, looking back. The better point is that Hughes is interrogating the mythology of war, the propaganda, the patriotism, the glorification, and stripping it away to reveal the terrifying animal reality underneath. Now let's walk through the poem itself. The poem opens with one of the most striking first lines in the anthology. Suddenly he awoke and was running. Notice that word suddenly. Hughes drops us straight into the action. There's no buildup, no context, no explanation. The soldier is already running. He's already in the charge. This is a deliberate structural choice. The reader experiences the same disorientation as the soldier. We don't know where we are, why this is happening, or what came before. That's the point. War doesn't give you time to think. The phrase, raw seemed hot cocky, is extraordinary. Hughes packs three adjectives together with no commas, raw seemed hot cocky, and the effect is overwhelming, sensory, almost suffocating. The word raw suggests pain, exposure, something unfinished. Seamed reminds us this is a uniform, a costume of war, but it's also a word that suggests something stitched together, barely holding. And hot gives us the physical heat of exertion and fear. Examiners will credit detailed analysis of individual word choices like this. Don't just say, Hughes uses sensory language. Say which word, what it means, and what effect it creates. The first stanza also gives us the image of bullets smacking the belly out of the air. That verb smacking is violent, percussive. It sounds like what it describes. This is onomatopoeia working at its best. The phrase belly out of the air is almost grotesque. It personifies the air as a body being hit, being gutted. Hughes is making the invisible visible, making the abstract physical. The air itself becomes a casualty. Moving into the second stanza, the pace changes. The soldier stumbles, his foot hung like statuary in mid-stride. And in that moment of physical pause, the existential questions flood in. That simile is remarkable. A statue is frozen, permanent, heroic. It's the kind of image you'd see on a war memorial. But here, the soldier is frozen, not in heroic pose, but in terror, mid-stumble. Hughes is subverting the iconography of war commemoration. Then comes one of the most philosophically rich lines in the poem. In what cold clockwork of the stars and the nations slash was he the hand pointing that second? This is the soldier asking, why me? Why now? The metaphor of clockwork suggests a mechanical, indifferent universe. Fate as machinery, not as divine purpose. The word cold strips away any warmth or meaning. He's just a hand on a clock, a tiny cog in a vast, uncaring mechanism. This is Hughes at his most existential, and it's where you can really show off your analytical skills. The poem reaches its devastating conclusion in the third stanza. The soldier sees a hair, a yellow hair slash that rolled like a flame. And this image is crucial. The hare is a wild, natural creature, terrified, fleeing. It's also the soldier. Both are caught in the same mechanized slaughter. Both are innocent. Both are running for their lives. The simile rolled like a flame is unsettling. The hair moves like fire, like destruction itself, as if nature has been consumed by the violence of war. And then the final lines deliver the poem's most powerful statement. King, honor, human dignity, etc., dropped like luxuries in a yelling alarm. That word etc. is devastating. Hughes dismisses the grand abstractions of patriotism, king, honor, dignity, with a casual etc., as if they're too numerous and too meaningless to bother listing. The verb dropped is physical. These aren't ideas that fade. They're things that are thrown away in a moment of survival. And luxuries is the killer word. In extremis, these ideals are not necessities. They are luxuries. They're things you can only afford when you're not fighting for your life. This is Hughes's central argument. War destroys not just bodies, but the very ideas that send men to war in the first place. Now let's talk exam technique, because this is where marks are won and lost. The most common mistake I see in student responses to bayonet charge is what examiners call feature spotting. A student writes, Hughes uses a simile when he says the patriotic terror was sweating like molten iron. Full stop. That's it. No analysis of what molten iron means, no exploration of why that image is so jarring, no connection to the theme of dehumanization. You've spotted the feature, but you haven't earned the marks. The second most common mistake is misreading the patriotic tear. Students often say, the soldier feels patriotic and proud, but read it carefully. The patriotic tear that had brimmed in his eye, sledding like molten iron from the center of his chest. The tear is moved. It was in his eye, the seat of emotion, of sentiment. But now it's sweating from his chest. It's become sweat, physical exertion, pain. The transformation from tear to sweat is the transformation from idealism to survival. That's a level 5 observation. That's what gets you the top marks. Third mistake. Ignoring structure. So many students write only about language and forget that the form of the poem, the free verse, the enjambment, the caesura, the varying line lengths is itself a method. When Hughes writes, stumbling across a field of clods towards a green hedge / that dazzled with rifle fire, the enjambment carries us forward breathlessly, just as the soldier is carried forward. We can't stop. We can't pause. The line ending doesn't give us rest. That structure working in service of meaning. And fourth, bolting on context. Don't write a separate paragraph that says, in World War I, soldiers were sent over the top. That earns you nothing. Instead, weave context into your analysis. Hughes's use of etc. reflects the post-war disillusionment with the propaganda that had glorified sacrifice. A disillusionment shared by poets like Wilfred Owen, whose work Hughes would have known well. Now, a quick-fire recall quiz. I'll ask you 5 questions, pause the podcast, and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1. What is the first word of the poem, and why is it significant? The answer is, suddenly. It drops the reader into the action without context, mirroring the soldier's disorientation and the chaos of war. Question 2. What does the word etc. suggest about patriotic ideals? It dismisses them as too numerous and too meaningless to list. Hughes treats them with contempt, suggesting they are hollow abstractions. Question 3. What is the hair a symbol of? The hair represents the soldier. Both are innocent creatures caught in mechanized slaughter. It also represents nature being destroyed by war. Question 4. What structural technique does Hughes use to create breathlessness? Enjambment, lines run on without pause, carrying the reader forward just as the soldier is carried forward by momentum and terror. Question 5. What does dropped like luxuries tell us about the poem's central argument? That patriotic ideals, king, honor, dignity, are not fundamental human needs, but luxuries that cannot survive, the reality of combat. War strips them away entirely. So, to summarize everything we've covered today, Bayonet Charge is a poem about the violent collision between idealism and reality. Hughes uses a 3-stanza structure to chart the soldier's psychological journey from disoriented awakening through existential questioning to animal survival. Key methods include the opening suddenly for immediate disorientation, sensory imagery like raw seamed hot khaki for physical immersion, the statue simile for subverted heroism, the clockwork metaphor for an indifferent universe, the hair simile for shared innocence and dehumanization, and the devastating etc. for the dismissal of patriotic ideology. In your exam, always start with a clear thesis. Something like, Hughes presents the soldier's experience as a terrifying dissolution of humanity, in which patriotic idealism is violently replaced by animal instinct. Then build each paragraph around a specific method, embed your quotations, and always connect to the poem's broader argument. You've got this. Good luck, and keep revising.